Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great show for you guys today. Cole Thompson standing by. Going to get his thoughts on Army-Navy coming up on Saturday and also his initial thoughts on the college football playoff. We got a great game Thursday night football tonight between the Rams and the 49ers. We will dive into that. We'll look at the NFC West futures odds. I will also give my thoughts on Army and Navy. We'll give out our five favorite bets for Week 15 in the NFL over the weekend, and I'll also give out my five favorite player props for Week 15 as well. Lucy Bird's going to join us later on in the show, talk about Red Sox picking up Garrett Crochet, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube.com/OdysseySports. Send in your comments. We'll try and get to as many of them as we can. If you missed the show for whatever reason, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also search on YouTube as well, Send It In, and you can find the show there as well. But let's get this thing going. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line, and joining us on Thursdays, as he always does, Cole Thompson. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson, host of On SEC Unfiltered. And Cole, obviously a lot of excitement about the 12-team bracket. Want to get your thoughts on that. But first, let's start with Army and Navy this week. We got Army favored by 6.5. The total, which is always a big discussion whenever you have the Service Academy teams going at it, that's at 39. Anything that you like in this game between Army and Navy?
How about the fact that, like we do every single year, we get to put down our forces, we get to lay down our arms and just say, give me college football, Army-Navy at its finest. The best rivalry in all of sports takes over our television screens. One final regular season matchup. This is a really good Army team that has Bryson Daly that maybe belonged in the Heisman Trophy conversation, at least as a dark horse. He wasn't there. This is the number one rushing attack in the country. They're averaging over 314 yards per game, but PJ, 5.71 yards per attempt and 44 rushing touchdowns. They are doing exceptional work, putting themselves in second and manageable situations. And the big question mark is, how do you slow down an Army offense? Usually it's with a stout Navy defense. They ranked 85th against the run. That is in the bottom quadrant of all Group of Five programs, and it's in the bottom quadrant of all programs in college football this year. So when you give me Bryson Daly, you give me the atmosphere of what could be a special season. They're already the American Conference champions. They get to have one loss on the radar. It comes to a Notre Dame team that was humming at the right time. I feel like that's going to bode extremely well in their favor. They want to guarantee a top 25 finish in the college football playoff rankings. I think the Army wins this one. I'm a Navy guy, but for the first time in my life, it's go Army, beat Navy.
There you go. All right, looking forward to that one on Saturday. Cole, obviously looking forward to the first round of the college football playoff as well, which will start not tomorrow, but the following Friday, as Sean brings up the beautiful graphic up there on our screen. So, Cole, obviously we all know the matchups by now. What I want to know is which of these favorites in the first round do you think should be on upset alert? Is it Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, or Notre Dame? Who's the favorite you look at and you think could be in for a scare next weekend?
I think the obvious answer is Ohio State, and it's because of not only are you going to play in front of your hometown crowd, but also keep in mind that the last time fans saw you, they were booing you off the field after losing to a 7-5 Michigan squad. And PJ, many people don't realize Ohio State went all in for 2024. They didn't care about 2025. They said that we're going to bring in as much talent as possible. We're retaining almost a dozen seniors. We feel really good about the players that we brought in Quinshon Judkins and Will Howard and Caleb Downs. And they won their matchups and they lost two games to two opponents, one of which is the favorite to win the national title, and another one that lost to multiple teams, including Texas, by double digits in their backyard. And they had no quarterback, and the best defensive player on the roster wasn't out there. And they had the best offensive player sidelined as well. So Ryan Day has got to be able to get more momentum, I think, in this matchup. And there's a big scenario to where if he doesn't walk away with a win, he's out of a job. And I know that's crazy to say, but at the same time, there are expectations out in Columbus. You're at the Shoe. The weather is going to bode in your favor. It's a night game. You don't see many teams on the road march into an atmosphere and get a win at night. But this is a really good Tennessee front seven. This is a really good Tennessee rushing attack. Nico Iamaliava has drastically improved. He is far from the problem that's going on in Knoxville. I think that Tennessee has at least a little bit of conversation when you look at that 7.5. Hammer the plus points on that. I'm also going to throw this out there. Until I see it, James Franklin has not won the big one. So I'm looking at Penn State as the secondary option with SMU. Kevin Jennings brought this team back down by 17 points. I'm just saying, you go into Happy Valley, it's a day game. Expectations are expecting for you to go ahead and make progress. Those are the two things I'm looking at. But naturally, you got to look at Ohio State first.
I love it. Sean and I, before we got on, were talking about that Notre Dame-Indiana game and obviously the Battle of Indiana. That could be an interesting game. Do you worry about Notre Dame? You just talked about James Franklin usually comes up short in a big spot. We know Notre Dame, that's kind of been their MO over the last 20, 25 years. Do you worry about that game with them and the Hoosiers?
It can if you try to complex the offense. You know, the thing that really stands out about Riley Leonard is he's not the prototypical quarterback that fits a Mike Denbrock offense. They want to be explosive. They want to have the vertical passing attacks. That's what made Jaden Daniels a household name at LSU for 2 years. But the mobility is a major factor. And when you simplify the offense, what you see is what you get in a pretty good quarterback with Riley Leonard leading the charge. They have some weapons. I'm very excited that the national level of college football fans will get to see who Jeremiah Love is. He's averaging 8 yards a carry. That, I think, is going to be detrimental to this front seven for Indiana. If you can force Indiana, who's had struggles at times against quality defenses, to live in third and long, being at home, being at Notre Dame Stadium, having the South Bend faithful behind you, I think that's going to extremely bode well in the Irish's favor. If the passing attack starts to get a little bit more slicey and dicey, that might be a concern. But Xavier Watts got two big interceptions in that USC game. I look at that -7. I feel like it's a little bit too rich for my liking, but only by a point. If it was at 7, a touchdown score, I'd absolutely hammer it. Give me Indiana with the +7.5, but I do think that you will watch as Notre Dame carries itself. And depending on how they look, I may actually say Notre Dame stands a very good shot of upsetting Georgia en route to the semifinals.
Ooh, I'm glad you said that, Cole. That was going to be my next question. You look at those top four seeds, Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and ASU. Cole, what's crazy is if the chalk wins out, if Notre Dame wins and Penn State wins and Texas wins, all three of those teams, as it currently stands, would actually be favorites against those teams that are on byes this week. And then if Oregon plays Ohio State, the Ducks would only be a 1.5-point favorite. So I ask you, of those top four seeds, which would you be the most confident in advancing to the semifinal round, considering most of them would be underdogs, if not pick'ems?
I'm going to go Oregon into the low-hanging fruit. When you look at Arizona State, Sam Levitt is a fireball. I mean, the way that he carries himself since he joined the program for Michigan State is second to none. Three big touchdowns in the game against Iowa State, Big 12 championship. Just the underdog mentality that he's played with all year. But if you can slow down Cam Scataboo with the number one rush defense in the country, I think that you're going to be very limited out in Tempe, wherever that game is going to be played. For Georgia, it all relies on Gunnar Stockton. You know, if this is a quarterback that you continue to see progress, growth, advances, he has 2.5 weeks to prepare the ins and outs of building relationships with Mike Bobo's system, with wide receivers like Arian Smith or tight end play like Oscar Delp, then I think that he can still capitalize. They're going to have a healthy Trevor Etienne and a healthy Nate Frazier. That's probably going to bode well in their favor. The Boise State game is very similar to the exact same thing I said about Arizona State. Take away Ashton Jeanty. Are you really trusting Maddox Mattson to get you a win against either Penn State or SMU? But Oregon has all the pieces, and more importantly, they have a quarterback that doesn't make a lot of mental mistakes, and that's because when you have an MD in college football after six seasons and 6 years of starting, you would expect Dylan Gabriel to be a surgeon at this point. Tez Johnson's back fully healthy. What you've seen from Trayshawn Holden coming back into the roster has been beneficial. What you've seen from the additions of a Ferguson at tight end, the defense has really turned the corner. The offensive line has been second to none, the best in college football this year. It feels like even though you have a great front seven in Tennessee and a great front seven in Ohio State, the weapons that you have out in Eugene are just going to be too toxic to be able to go ahead and combat.
Very good. Cole, what's your national championship as of right now? Who are the two teams you have meeting in the title game, and who do you have winning?
Well, my picks were all over the place this year, but I did say at the start of the season, Oregon versus Georgia is going to be the national championship. I'm sticking with my gut and saying Oregon versus Georgia is going to be the national championship. And I'm sticking with my gut once again. Phil Knight doesn't need a lot of money to claim that he won a national title. I'm going to take the Oregon Ducks. I think they're going to cover the spread. I think that you are going to see an undefeated Ducks team head back to Quackers Land, and they are going to have a national title, the first in the Phil Knight era.
There you go. Cole, before I let you go in about 30 seconds, outside of the college football playoff, any bowl games that you're fired up for that you're excited to watch?
Yeah, two. Let's start off with the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Number one, you eat the mascot afterwards, so it's straight murder on the field. That's amazing. We got Cam Ward playing against Rocco Becht. That's awesome in itself. And hopefully Cam Ward and Damian Martinez don't opt out of this game. The other one is the Citrus Bowl, South Carolina versus Illinois. This feels like two teams with a win could do wonders in the transfer portal for their reckoning going into 2025. It feels like a South Carolina team wants to make that jump very similar to what what Ole Miss did a few years ago, what Missouri did last year. And for Illinois, to say that you got 10 wins under the Fighting Brett Bielemas, that's a pretty good deal. These are two teams that really flew under the radar, got hot at the right time. I think that it's a lot better of a matchup than what that 9.5-point line says.
Very good. Cole Thompson, give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Does great stuff over there as a host of SEC Unfiltered. Cole, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, PJ. Take care, guys.
You got it. All right, great stuff there. From Cole Thompson, let's talk about tonight, Thursday night football game. We got the Rams and the 49ers out in Santa Clara. San Francisco favored by 3. The total is 48.5. Niners on the money line, -150. The Rams are +125. I like San Francisco in this game tonight. Shanahan against McVay. Kyle has owned that matchup so far between the two guys, especially in the regular season. I talk about this too all the time in the NFL, right? Buy low and sell high. Well, it feels like right now the Rams stock is pretty high after what they did against Buffalo, how good their offensive looked. The problem is with the Rams this season, every time they play really well and every time it looks like their offense is just unstoppable, they tend to just lay a dud, and they can't just stack good performance after good performance. Meanwhile, we kind of all left San Francisco for dead. It just has felt like it isn't their year. They've had a ton of injuries. Does look like Isaac Arendo, their running back, is going to play for them tonight, which is big. Nick Bosa is still a game-time decision. He's questionable on whether or not they want to go, but I do like San Francisco tonight. 2.5, 3, anything under 3, I think is a good bet with the Niners. I think they take care of business, so I like San Francisco to get the job done. Couple of player props that I like for tonight's game. Kyren Williams, over 10.5 receiving yards for LA tonight against San Francisco. Again, I like the Niners to win. I think they're going to be leading for a majority of the game. Game script would tell you then that the Rams are going to have to throw. The familiarity with both of these teams, knowing they have to take away Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and the pass rush of San Francisco, especially if Bosa goes. I mean, Stafford's going to have to get the ball out of his hands quickly. I think he dumps it down to Kyren Williams. So we'll go over 10.5 receiving yards for Kyren Williams tonight. And then George Kittle, under 56.5 receiving yards, is plus money, +105 at BetMGM. Kittle's last 5 games against the Rams, he has gone for 50 yards or fewer receiving. Again, Brandon Ayuk's been playing a majority of those games. McCaffrey's been out there, and Debo Samuel has been playing well. So a little bit different this time around. Kittle certainly is more of a focal point in the receiving game, but I think that's just better for the Rams, knowing that they got to take Kittle away. If there's one option on offense you got to limit tonight in the passing game, it's certainly George Kittle. So we'll go under 56.5 receiving yards for Kittle against the Rams. As for the NFC futures market, this is such a big game tonight because Seattle is 8-5 atop the conference. Then you have the Rams behind them at 7-6 and the Niners and the Cardinals at 6-7. I think you can throw the Cardinals out the door. They lost both games to Seattle. So with four games remaining, Arizona is going to need to win at least three, if not win out. And then Seattle is going to have to lose all their games or lose three of the four. So I think Arizona is done, especially at their price, plus 750. Don't love it. San Francisco's got a tough schedule to finish. They obviously play the Rams tonight. Then they're at Miami, home against Detroit, and then at Arizona. That's a tough finish. Their price is 15-1 to win the division. But again, the Niners' divisional record has not been good this season, and it just doesn't feel like you're getting a great price there. The Rams, I think, are the interesting team. Seattle's minus 115 to win the division. You have the Rams at plus 160. If you're like me and you think the Rams are going to lose tonight, I would wait until this game is over and hopefully the Rams do lose. And instead of getting the plus 160, you're probably going to get a price closer to 2-1. And then I would bet the Rams to win the division, because keep in mind, Seattle's got a tough game on Sunday night against Green Bay. Green Bay is favored by 3 points. There's a good chance the Packers win that game. If they do and both teams lose this weekend, Seattle will still just hold a one-game lead over the Rams so they don't lose any ground. Week 18, you have Seattle at LA. And with the Rams already winning the first meeting between those two teams, it does feel like that game is going to decide the division, that last game at the end of the year. So I do think the Rams are a good bet. I'm going to wait after the game tonight, thinking they lose to San Francisco, bet them to win the division at a better price, and then hoping Seattle loses to Green Bay as well. And I still like the Rams to win this NFC West division. You got a good price, but I would wait until the game ends tonight. As for Navy and Army, I thought Cole made a lot of good points there when we were talking. Look, Bryson Daly's been awesome for Army this year. And every once in a while in these Army-Navy matchups, you get a quarterback for one of the teams that's just the best player on the field, and he makes everything happen, and that's what Bryson Daly is for Army. He's just too good. That rushing offense is too good. And Navy, even though, yes, they run the triple option and do all these things, they run out of shotgun. They throw it a little bit more than we're accustomed to seeing out of a Navy team. I just think Army's way better. Anything under 7, I think, is a good bet with Army. If you just want to play it safe and bet them on the money line, maybe use them as like a parlay option. I think that's a good bet too, but I'll go Army minus 6.5, kind of like the over in that game as well. Since 2005, the under is 42-11-2 against the spread against the total to the under. I actually think we're going to get some points because Army's offense has been pretty explosive. I think Navy might be able to score some points as well. All right, let's go to the PJ Pick 5 here on Send It In. So we look at my five favorite games of the week in the NFL. We will start with the Dallas Cowboys plus 3 against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. I really like Dallas in this game. Now, Carolina obviously has been playing really good football in their last 4 or 5 games. Bryce Young, ever since he has come back into the lineup, something's clicked for Bryce, and he's starting to look like the number one pick. The potential certainly is there. Panthers are starting to put up more points. They took Kansas City right down to the wire. They should have beaten Philadelphia if Xavier Leggett makes that catch. Here's the problem, though. The Panthers haven't been favored in a game since 2022. And when you're a team that's so used to being the underdog and everybody counting it out and nobody really expecting anything from you, and then you make that shift to being the favorite, I think that's where I want to fade Carolina. When you're expected to win, when things are expected of you, that's when it gets tricky. Bryce Young has only won 4 games as a starting quarterback. In all 4 of those games, he's had to come from behind on the final drive to win those games. So he's not used to playing with the lead. He's not used to, you know, winning a game where he's ahead the entire time. Anytime we get that kind of scenario and we got to lay 3 with the team, I'm not going to do it. And we're getting a key number with Dallas. Carolina does not have a good defense. They have the worst rush defense in the NFL. And Dallas, who is also playing a lot better football during this stretch, they are starting to lean more on Rico Dowdle. I think they do that on Sunday as well. I'll go Cowboys plus 3. I'd take some money line against Carolina as well. I also like the Indianapolis Colts plus 4 against the Denver Broncos. Season is on the line for the Colts. They trail Denver by 2 games in the AFC wild card. And obviously this game is massive because it could give Indy the tiebreaker over the Broncos. Broncos have been awesome against the spread this season. Bo Nix is playing really good football. But Anthony Richardson's also playing a lot better since he has gotten back in the lineup over Joe Flacco. Colts are coming off their bye. Denver's got an excellent defense, especially a very good passing defense. I expect Shane Steichen to really lean on the ground game on Sunday. A lot of Jonathan Taylor, a lot of Anthony Richardson. I'll go Colts +4 against the Broncos. Also like the Eagles, -5.5 against the Steelers. I just think the Eagles are the way better team. I think the George Pickens injury is a big deal for Pittsburgh. Russ going up against that pass defense for Philly to begin with, not a very good option with Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean and their defensive line led by Jalen Carter. A lot of people, I think, are looking too much into the Eagles game against Carolina last week when that was just clearly a flat spot. I think the Eagles roll on Sunday, take care of business. Give me Philly, -5.5. I'll also take the under, 54.5 between the Bills and the Lions. Now, I know this might be a little bit scary. It's the highest total of this season in the NFL so far. But think about the games that you're getting both of these teams off of. We just watched the Bills play a game 44-42. We just watched the Lions play a game 34-31. It's one of the biggest games of the season. You have two of the best offenses in the NFL. You have two MVP candidates at quarterback. And everybody's going to want to bet the over because they want to root for points and they want to root for an exciting game. The Bills hardly ran the ball with James Cook this past Sunday against the Rams. He only got 6 carries. I think the Bills run the ball a lot more against Detroit to try and keep that offense off the field. And we know the Lions are a running team to begin with. I expect the Bills defense to bounce back a little bit too. So we'll go under 54.5 between the Lions and the Bills. And then finally, give me the Bears +7 against the Minnesota Vikings. It's obviously been a disappointing year for the Bears. They got rid of Eberflus. They're not winning as many games as they thought they would. We know their division is brutal. But the one thing that Chicago has done this year has been very competitive in divisional games. They lost by 1 to Green Bay. They lost by 3 in their first meeting to Minnesota. They lost by 3 to Detroit on Thanksgiving. They've been playing NFC North opponents tough. I think 7's too many points. Give me Chicago plus the points against the Vikings. Those are our 5 favorite plays of Week 15. Cowboys +3, Colts +4, Eagles -5.5, Lions, Bills under, and Bears +7. All right, let's get to my favorite player props here in Week 15 in the NFL. We will start with Rico Dowdle over 83.5 rushing yards for the Cowboys against the Carolina Panthers. I was talking a little bit about this last segment, but Carolina's got the worst rush defense in the NFL. Rico Dowdle has had 112 and 131 rushing yards in his last 2 games. Dallas has finally found a little bit of a formula without Dak Prescott. Don't drop back Cooper Rush 40 to 50 times and have him throw it. Lean on your run game because that also helps keep your defense fresh and it keeps the other offenses off the sideline. I mean, this should be an easy game plan for Dallas. You're running the ball really well and you're going up against the worst run defense in the NFL. Run, Rico. We're going over 83.5 rushing yards for Rico Dowdle against the Panthers. I also like Anthony Richardson over 9.5 rush attempts against the Broncos as well. As I was talking about last segment, the Colts are coming off a bye. This is an absolute must-win game for them if they want to make the playoffs. And what do you have to do in a must-win game that you got to have it? You run Anthony Richardson because that's what he does best, especially when the matchup accounts for it. Denver's got a good defense. They got an excellent secondary. Richardson, as we know, still has a lot of learning and developing to do as a passer, but he is a hell of a runner. And I expect Richardson to carry the ball like 12 or 13 times on Sunday. We'll go over 19.5 rushing attempts for Anthony Richardson against Denver. Also take Russell Wilson throw an interception at +110 against the Eagles. Now, Russ has been very good so far this year at taking care of the football. But again, I'm expecting the Eagles to get up, be up for most of this game. Steelers are playing catch up. No George Pickens. Russ might have to force some throws throughout this game. I'll take the plus money with Russ to throw an interception at +110. Also, give me Joe Mixon over 83.5 rushing yards for the Texans against the Dolphins. Now, Miami's rush defense has been pretty solid this season. Their defense as a whole has been pretty good. And obviously, since Tua has been back, the offense has been playing much better. But Houston coming off a bye, being fresh, Joe Mixon's been great for them all season. I think they lean on him a ton on Sunday. We'll go Joe Mixon over 83.5 rushing yards as well. And then finally, give me a field goal kicker prop. Zane Gonzalez over 1.5 field goals for the Commanders at -135 against the Saints. I do like the Saints to cover the number this weekend against Washington, whether it's Jake Haener or whether it's Spencer Rattler. Washington's offense has really struggled in the red zone this season. I could see Washington being pretty successful on Sunday between the 20s, but then once they get into the red zone, they have to settle for some field goals. We'll go Zane Gonzalez over 1.5 field goals against the Saints. All right, let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge joining us here on Send It In. Lucy, what are the 5-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. 5-star play for today is for the weekend, actually. Saints plus 7.5 against the Commanders. The Commanders have failed to cover in 3 of their last 4 games, and they did not cover in their last road game in that loss to the Eagles. And the Saints have covered in 2 of their last 3 games at home and covered in 2 of their last 3 games as an underdog. So the BetQL model loves the Saints plus 7.5 as a 5-star play for this weekend.
There you go. I'm right there with the model. I like the Saints as well. Lucy, what about tonight? Rams and 49ers, huge game in the NFC West. Any bets for you?
Yes, I'm looking at the Rams. Rams plus 3.5 here. They have covered in 3 of their last 4 games. Rams plus 3. And the Niners have covered in their 4 of their last 5 games, 3 of their last 5 at home. The Rams have also won 3 of their last 4 games and are trending in the right direction now. The Niners have lost 3 of their last 4. So I like the Rams to cover tonight plus 3.
Very good. Lucy, what about this weekend? Anything that you like in the NFL on Sunday?
Yes, I am continuing to take the Panthers. I've taken the Panthers to cover a few weeks in a row now, and it's been working out. I am taking them again, though, as favorites. Panthers minus 2.5 against the Cowboys. The Panthers have covered in their last 5 games, including against Buccaneers, Eagles, and Chiefs, which is pretty impressive, and their last 3 games at home. They have covered in their last 4 spreads as well. So on the road, the Cowboys have not covered in 3 of their last 5. So I'm taking the Panthers minus 2.5 as favorites here.
Very good. All right, Lucy, we obviously got the winter meetings going on in baseball as well. We've seen some big names on the move. Obviously, Soto going to the Mets. And then your Red Sox made a big splash yesterday trading for Garrett Crochet. Your thoughts on the trade for the White Sox pitcher?
Yes, so I'm very excited about this trade. I think Shawnee Sharpe and I each got a great return for our teams in this trade. So the White Sox got a great return, but I think this is great for the Red Sox because Garrett Crochet is a great pitcher, and the Red Sox needed this. But I think this is great as well to settle the fans a bit because I have never seen anything like I saw the past few weeks on Red Sox Twitter. People were up in arms, including just yesterday. People were losing their minds. The Red Sox aren't doing anything. We fell for it again. And now we can relax because they got Garrett Crochet. I don't think they're done yet. And I wonder if I was relieved that Tristan Casas was not on the move yet, but I do wonder if he will be a piece in perhaps a trade with another team going forward. So I don't know if they're done yet, but they did make a move. So credit to the Red Sox. I like this move very much, and I am happy that they actually did something.
All right, very good. Do you think they make any other moves, Lucy? Do you think they go after another pitcher? You think they target a bat? What do you think they do?
I think they go after another pitcher, though I don't think they can land Corbin Burns. I don't know if they are now. I'm actually, hindsight, glad they did not get Juan Soto because that's too much money. Too much money for them to pay. I think they would have been criticized either way. So I think they go after another pitcher. I wonder if it will be Corbin Burns, but I do hope Tristan Casas remains with the Red Sox when the season begins.
Lucy, am I going to like Tyler O'Neill? Do you think that was a good pickup?
Yes. I think you will like Tyler O'Neill. He does lift a lot of weights. That will be a big point of discussion that he has. He's jacked, PJ. This guy has guns like you read about. So that's a very big part of who he is as a person. You will like Tyler O'Neill. I will miss Tyler O'Neill. So congrats to you on him because that is a really good pickup, I think.
Thank you. All right, if I got the Lucy Burge stamp of approval on Tyler O'Neill, I feel good about it. So we'll
like
see.
It.
Again, we got to see what happens with Corbin Burns, maybe Alex Bregman,
yep.
Kyle Tucker on the move as well. So a couple of interesting days coming up here in MLB free agency. Lucy Burge joining us here on Send It In. Lucy, always appreciate the time. We'll catch up again next week.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show. B Mills with a question in the chat. Haven't seen a line yet, PJ, but have you seen Blake Corum's increased usage? I'm on his over rushing yards whenever that drops. If it's not crazy high, what do you think? I totally agree with you, B-Mills. I have noticed that Corum's obviously been getting some more playing time. It's interesting because I could see it going both ways, right? It's a short week late in the season on a Thursday, so certainly you could see them wanting to give Kyren Williams maybe a little bit of a breather from time to time, but also there's so much riding on this game. This is kind of like a playoff game. So I don't know if Corum's going to get too much time as well. So it all depends on the number, but I would think I would more so lean towards Kyren. If you feel a little iffy about it, if you're on the fence, I wouldn't pull the trigger. But if it's like a number like 3.5, 4.5, something like that, I think that's a good bet on Blake Corum. Speaking of Kyren, his prop lock is over 10.5 receiving yards for me tonight against San Francisco. Now, Kyren's receiving yardages have been all over this season. He's had some games where he's gone for 20-plus, some games 10-plus, some games he doesn't even have a catch out of the backfield. I think tonight, though, I expect San Francisco to win the game. I like them to be leading for most of the way. I think the Niners will be playing catch-up. We'll go over 10.5 receiving yards for Kyren Williams. In college hoops tonight, give me UT Arlington plus 9.5 against Arkansas State. This is a fade of the Red Wolves, who are coming off a monster win on the road against Memphis. It's like 13-point underdogs. Now they come back home. Got to go up against UT Arlington. We'll take them plus 9.5 against Arkansas State. Then finally, best bet of the night, 49ers minus 2.5 against the Rams. Thanks again, Nicole Thompson and Lucy Burge, for joining us on the show today. Nick Ashew with you guys tomorrow. Hope you have a great weekend. Good luck on all your bets, and we will see you on Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.